Are you sure? Can I say friends? I guess I can say friends.
Absolutely.
I just want to make sure. Steelers rookies are scheduled to report on July 23rd. They'll be over in La Trobe. And you know what? It's a good time to have our AFC North preview. And we want to bring in somebody who could really help us and help us figure out exactly what's going on in Pittsburgh from the Post-Gazette. It is Brian Batko. And, of course, he's on the fan hotline. Hi, Brian. How are you? Thanks for joining us today. We really do appreciate it.
Hi, Brian.
I'm doing great, guys. How are you?
We are good. All right. You've got to – most people think the Steelers are going to be third in the AFC North. Are you buying into that? And just right out of the gate, you got to tell me your thoughts on Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, I haven't really sat down to, like, do the whole figure out the order of finishers in the AFC and, by extension, the AFC North. But
it's easy when you're eyeing down fourth place in Cleveland, just to let you in on the clue.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, yeah. I can tell you off the top of my head, I'm not going to have the Steelers first. I'm not going to have them fourth. It's really just, do I decide that the Bengals can figure out a way to, like, literally keep a team out of the end zone one time, just one time, so that they can finish second in this division? I don't know. But, I think the Steelers are going to, again, be, you know, competing for second or third with Cincinnati. And, you know, the other part of your question there, I think they do go as far as the old cowboy can take them, 41-year-old Aaron Rodgers. I think this is a move that it keeps you – as competitive as you reasonably can be this season, but it also kind of keeps you on the treadmill of recycling, basically just uninspired quarterback options. You know, you were in this same boat last year thinking Russell Wilson has the veteran savvy to get you over the hump. He didn't. And here's the funny thing, guys. Like, I remember talking to people this time last year saying, well, if they could win 10 games with the triumvirate of Kenny Pickett, Mason Rudolph, and Mitch Trubisky, surely they can win more than 10 with Russell Wilson and Justin Fields. They did not. So I'm not going to say the same thing about bringing in Aaron Rodgers.
Did it surprise you the way last season went? Because I kind of thought Russell Wilson would be pretty good there, Brian. And then I thought, and if he beats out Justin Fields, which, you know, you kind of assumed he would, but and I thought Justin Fields was a nice signing by them, too. I thought the Steelers were in terrific shape, and it just didn't work.
Yeah, no, I wasn't too surprised. I think I picked 10-7 before the season, and obviously I was feeling like an idiot when they were riding high, and it looked like they were going to win way more than 10 games, but it just completely collapsed on them at the end after being, 10-2? So it went about as bad as it, or 10-3. It went as bad as it could have down the stretch, no doubt about it. And how much of that was teams just figuring out Russell Wilson? How much of that was, you know, the Steelers' defense springing holes at every level? The offensive line looking overwhelmed at times. I mean, a lot of things have to add up to lose five straight, including getting blown out on the road at your arch nemesis in the first round of the playoffs. So, I didn't love the Wilson move. I understood it because he was so cheap. When they were 4-2 with Justin Fields, I was talking myself into the Fields fan club and telling people at every turn, yeah, I think they should stick with them. There's going to be some ups and downs, but I can sort of squint and see the vision of how he is their best option. And they went a different direction. Mike Tomlin looked brilliant at the beginning. And in the end, what did they have to show for it? Another lost season. And you're right back where you started from at square one looking for a quarterback.
My gut just told me that Wilson and Fields better match with Mike Tomlin than Aaron Rodgers. Or is this going to be a match that we're going to just all think, man, that's working so well we can't even believe it?
Well, I mean, I think Mike Tomlin can kind of match with anybody. I think that's sort of one of his strong suits, at least at this stage of his career. So I don't know that there will be a ton of butting heads that way. As mercurial as he can be, and I guess sort of polarizing as he can be, I do think Aaron Rodgers knows what he's signing up for. You know, he's playing for $13.5 million. So, you know, you know what you're worth to the Steelers. You know what your worth was basically on the open market, or else he, you know, I assume would have tried to play for more. So
yeah.
I think he'll get along okay with the coaching staff. It's always hard to predict how people will react if things go sideways, which physically for him at his age, it certainly could. And I was sort of, critical of it taking as long as it did, missing all of OTAs. Then he does finally sign before mandatory minicamp, but all he really does is throw some routes on air and sort of watch Mason Rudolph run the first team offense from the sideline. So, yeah, I think they missed some crucial time there. He's new to them. They're new to him. I don't really know what to expect, but I just don't think he's the guy that he once was.
Brian Betko, Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, does have to join us here on the hotline. All right, so I just want to turn things over to Cleveland for a second just because I'm just curious your thoughts. Kenny Pickett, when he signed with the Browns, your thoughts on that, and can Kenny have success in Cleveland?
Oh, man. I guess just sort of a chuckle when they traded for him from the Eagles, because I was like, man, of all the teams for him to end up with after winning the Super Bowl, he's right back, across the Ohio border with the Browns, who have, they've been a thorn in the Steelers' side. I always tell, my Steelers listeners and readers, you can thumb your nose at the Browns and their historical success or lack thereof all you want, but when you actually boil it down to the on-the-field results of the last 5, 6, 7 years, it's essentially neck and neck. In the biggest game that you two teams have played, they beat you on your home field and sent Marquise Pouncey out sad as a Steelers legend. So, be careful with your words there, but I don't really see how this all comes together for them. I liked covering Kenny when I covered Pitt football. I never would have thought he was going to turn himself into a Heisman Trophy third place guy and a first round draft pick and the eventual, hopeful Steelers franchise quarterback of the future. But I didn't think it was going to go as poorly as quickly as it did for him in Pittsburgh.
Did he do good things there? 15-10 record there. And we know about some fourth quarter stuff and game winning drives. But we're just wondering, could this guy possibly duplicate that, build on that here, or was that a byproduct of being a member of the Steelers?
Well, I think he did some good things. I'm not going to take any of those moments away from him. There were some absolute clutch throws, and I think that's one thing that Kenny kind of has working in his favor. The overall results not nearly consistent enough, and I think it was entirely fair for anybody to question whether he would ever be a starting caliber NFL quarterback, and I don't necessarily blame the Steelers for pulling the plug after less than two full seasons for Kenny, almost closer to one full season based on games he appeared in. But there's the game that he's walking off the field and Mike Tomlin's mouth and Kenny F and Pickett, and they're all fired up, and it looked like he was that dude. And also, guys, it ended so weirdly. He never got another crack at it.
Oh.
He got hurt with the ankle, I believe it was. Mitch Trubisky comes in, and I think Kenny was itching to get another crack at it, but Mason Rudolph was playing well enough that I think the team would have revolted if the Steelers went away from him then. And next thing you know, they turn around and essentially give Kenny Pickett the vote of no confidence because they went out and did pursue Russell Wilson. And then obviously Kenny saw the writing on the wall and he wanted out. So all that comes down to, it is going to be a very juicy matchup and one I absolutely want to see if he is starting for the Browns by the first time they play the Steelers.
Brian Batko joining us from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, covers the Steelers for the paper. Along with that, Kenny has some familiarity with a Browns wide receiver. How did Diontae Johnson go from pretty dang good in Pittsburgh to being given away to Carolina and then with three teams last year, four stops, and now just trying to hang on to a career? And can he?
I think he lost the plot, fellas. I think he forgot to keep the main thing, and that was, the team winning. He signed that nice contract extension almost 3 years ago. It'll be 3 years ago, early August. I remember because I think it was on my daughter's birthday, which is August 4th, and I was in the hospital when that all happened. So, I didn't love the Steelers paying him. They ended up getting him for a little bit less than some of his contemporaries on the open market at that time. And I understand he was a playmaker for them, and he was the de facto number one receiver when they made that move, and it was shorter term so that they could get out of it. And hey, they did get out of it because I thought he was just putting himself first a little too much. There were some, that's like the kind of behind the scenes deal, but then there's the actual footage that's out there of him dogging it on plays. The lost fumble in Cincinnati is the big one that everybody circles. But I also just feel like the body language was rough at times. There was a game, I want to say they were losing to the 2-win Cardinals at home. He finally catches a touchdown pass for the first time, and I don't know how long for him. And he's celebrating like they're beating the 2-win Cardinals. They were not. They would not. So it was little things like that that added up to me. And unfortunately for Deontay, that seemed to be the same song and dance as he went to Carolina and then Baltimore and then Houston. It's somebody who can't seem to get his mind in the right place with those teams. And I surely question whether it'll be that way in Cleveland, especially if they're not playing well, and especially because I don't feel like he and Kenny had a very good rapport either.
Brian, just because I have to look at the Buckeyes that are playing for Pittsburgh right now. So
get ready, Brian. Here you go.
First of all, I love Will Howard. I think Will Howard, if someone gives him the chance, he's going to be able to do something, especially with Aaron Rodgers maybe only being there for a season or two, if you're lucky, right? But yeah. Can he overtake Mason Rudolph to be the number two? And then I want your thoughts on Jack Sawyer, too. But let's start with Will Howard.
Yeah, super likable guy. I can see why the Buckeyes fans took to him quickly and, love him even though he was only there for a season. Winning it all doesn't hurt, obviously. But, just in the little bit that I've interacted with Will, he seems like a genuine, charismatic leader. He's humble, but he's not, like, phony about it. He still likes to talk his stuff if he's playing well and winning a big game, and he's not afraid to go try to back it up. So I can see why players did gravitate toward him at K-State.
And, Brian, and OSU. That's how he was after every Ohio State game last year. You just described him to a T. That's exactly who he is, yeah.
Except for that one game.
Right.
And I remember in the pre-draft process, I kind of nerd out a little bit over when I don't want to say I'm scouting players. That's not what I do. That's giving myself way too much credit. But when I research players.
You're talking about Oregon?
Before the draft.
Where yeah.
No, I was talking about
the other game. Yeah. Forgot about that.
Yeah. But when I, try to research players before the draft, I sometimes like to see, okay, how are they in these post-game pressers? Like, what can I learn about somebody? And he was as ticked off after a game as I think I've ever seen a player while also walking that line of realizing, like, okay, I need to be accountable for this, and I need to basically face the music. And you can just tell he does have that edge to him as well. So I don't know to eclipse Mason Rudolph. I think he'd have to really ball out in training camp and especially in the preseason when the lights are bright. What he's got going for him is the Steelers have sort of, moved on from Mason Rudolph many times before. So I wouldn't say they love him overall as a player, but it's going to be an uphill climb for Will Howard to carve out that backup role.
Brian Beck, I'm sorry.
Oh, no, I just wanted to follow up just with the Jack Sawyer thing. Like, to me, Jack Sawyer is that atypical Ohio State player that ends up in Pittsburgh and ends up eating the Browns for lunch every weekend, the two times a year they play.
Yeah, it wasn't really on my radar that they were going to draft another edge rusher this year because they had some holes elsewhere, relative holes, and they've got T.J. Watt, assuming they figure out all his contract situation, Alex Highsmith, and then Nick Herbig as a really good, trio. So I didn't think they were going to go edge rusher, especially not, right away on day three. But hearing Mike Tomlin and Omar Khan, some of the defensive coaches, gush about Jack Howard, and, it's cliche, but they were really laying it on thick with him about how he's just a Steeler. He just has Steelers DNA. So I think that's why they almost said the hell with positional needs. He's by far the best player available where we are, and whether he helps us as a rotational piece or certain matchups if we need to be more stout against the run at outside linebacker or just injury insurance for those three guys I mentioned, they couldn't pass him up.
Brian, 18 years of Mike Tomlin, he's never had a losing record. But it's been a long time since the Steelers have been to a Super Bowl, 15 years, 17 since they won it. We here in Cleveland would love such stability and such continued success. Is he okay in Pittsburgh? Do people want him there? Does he have to win? What's his situation?
I think he's always okay from the front office perspective, but I think he's on thin ice with a lot of the fan base. Now, they're not the ones who are signing his paychecks or making the calls on his job security. I think he has essentially, I think he essentially has carte blanche to coach here as long as he wants to. How long does he want to? That I don't know. I can't get inside someone else's psyche on that. But, you know, there has been a decent amount of negativity because of this 8-year playoff drought. And, you know, I know I wasn't very bullish on Aaron Rodgers at the top here, but I can kind of see where Tomlin's coming from. Like, there is some urgency. There is some desperation to end that skid, win a playoff game for the first time since 2016, I guess. And, you know, just if Rodgers can be the missing piece and can be the above the neck quarterback whose experience makes the difference and just helps you in a one-off game against Buffalo or Baltimore or Cincy or KC, then I think that's the vision. And both of these guys, which I think is interesting and is going to be a key storyline when you watch the Steelers, you know, get discussed on national broadcasts or whatever, people are writing off Aaron Rodgers as someone whose best days are behind him. People are writing off Mike Tomlin as someone whose best days are behind him. I think they'll both relish the chance to prove people wrong and shut them up. I'm just not sure that they're going to be able to do that.
Brian, love the conversation. Hopefully we can talk after the Browns get back from London on that short week before they head over to Pittsburgh, which could be bad. They could be asleep when they get to Pittsburgh by that point after that rough travel week the Browns have.
They got screwed with that aspect of the schedule.
At least they can take a bus ride over, right? Save themselves some air.
Yeah, I was saying earlier, that's the biggest layup game on the Steelers' slate, I think, is the Browns at home because of the travel you just mentioned as well.
Brian, you're 100% correct. I love talking to you. Hopefully we can have you back on soon. Thanks, Brian.
Thank you, Brian.
Anytime.
There you go. Brian Batko, Pittsburgh Post-Gazette.